fellow firearms lovers, and this is Bullet Points, which is your first source of firearms news and information in Australia. Coming to you from Drain the Billabong Studios, which is located deep in the heart of Central West New South Wales. We have more of the same this edition with Mike Walbro of the Australian Paintball Industry Association and Carl Smith, who is running for president of the SSAA New South Wales board election. We did try to get more candidates, but everyone being so busy, time was short. But that being said, you better strap in because it's going to be a wild ride. Ladies and gentlemen, following on from last week's discussion on paintball with the Honourable Robert Borzak is Mike Wybro, the Australian Paintball Industry Association President. Thanks for your time, Mike.
Hi.
Just give us a quick rundown on who Mike Wybro is and what the Australian Paintball Industry Association does.
Okay, the Australian Paintball Industry Association was started about 12 or 13 years ago now with the goal of working with government at state, federal, local level to improve our quite restricted and difficult regulations and laws in relation to paintball. Myself, I've been in the paintball industry for nearly 30 years, like 27 years, and I own I'm one of the owners of a company called Action Paintball Games. And we also own paintballshop.com. And we run a couple of big events like Total War Scenario Games and the Australian National Championships called the Super Sevens Paintball Series. So we're actively involved in all aspects of paintball to the best of our ability.
So how long has the Australian Paintball Industry Association been working on the deregulation of paintball?
Well, the most recent time, we got the age drop down to 16 New South Wales just over 10 years ago now on the proviso the government was going to drop it down to 12 if nothing went wrong after a short period of time. Nothing's gone wrong and it's turned into like 10 years later. But the campaign that we've been working with the government recently with the law changes has been an ongoing thing for the last 6 years.
Although there are some federal hoops to clear for equipment importation, will this lessening of regulation mean that the sport can grow much more rapidly?
Yeah, look, the problem that we have, especially in New South Wales, is paintball guns are more strictly controlled and regulated than real guns. From individual licensing to the age that you can shoot, examples in New South Wales, 12 years of age, the minor permit, shoot a real firearm, which is handguns, identify and rifle. Where currently in New South Wales, it's offensive to touch a paintball gun if you're not 15 years of age. If two people decided at the same time to get a paintball license and a firearm license, the person wanting the firearm license to buy a high-powered rifle, they'd be looking at probably around 3 months from start to finish to go in, get your license, get a permit required, and walk into a gun store and legally purchase a real gun. With a paintball gun permit, if you want to do the same thing, on average right now, it's anything between 5 and 6 months.
Whoa.
From when you start the process to be able to walk into a paintball store or a local gun store and pick up your newly purchased paintball gun with your license and permit to acquire. And that's there's a million different storage is stricter on a paintball gun than a real gun. The rules and regulations with a PTA are stricter with a real gun, with a paintball gun than a real gun. I can take my 308 centerfire rifle out to pretty much any property of 50 acres the size or greater and shoot it. You can't do that with a paintball gun. That's illegal.
Well, what just your run-of-the-mill higher paintball gun? What's the pellet moving at? Well, how many feet per second?
Oh man, they're only 300 feet. In pretty much all countries by Australia and China, they are not even a firearm because they simply don't generate enough joules of energy. You have a little gelatin shell, very thin shell with liquid, all liquid inside, being shot out of a paintball gun at 300 feet per second. And because the balls themselves weigh about, 3 grams, they have no mass. So if take a paintball and you shoot it 300 feet per second. You go, I think it's about 20 metres, it's doing less than half that. most paintball guns struggle to shoot more than 50 or 60 metres maximum range. Unless, of course, you're shooting directly into the air and you're hoping for a high wind behind you, might be able to go further. But they're not shaped, they're not heavy mass on the bullet. And I mean, the fundamental difference is obviously a paintball gun is designed from the ground to be non-lethal. So I'm not anti-gunner, far from it, but a firearm is designed to destroy what it did, whereas a paintball gun is designed to hit but not destroy what it did.
You mentioned the over-regulation and stuff like that, and the safety requirements that are involved in a paintball match. Even in the leagues over in America and stuff like that, are pretty insane. I mean, I've seen blokes get kicked off courses and stuff like that because they're breaching the rules.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with our paintball, our personal paintball business, the paintball industry has been very strict on safety regulation. And, still statistically safe as it's staying at home. Considering the number of people playing, such a physical activity, with our particular facility, and it's pretty much the same everywhere. I mean, the worst thing you get, usually people running into trees, actually probably the most common injury. Now, I don't know if the tree wasn't there earlier or something, but, people don't just run crazy and jump out of trees. And there's referees running all the games. There's a real, zero policy when it comes to safety violations. Most places, there's one strike and you're out. Two strikes and you're out, or at least a cooling off period. But to anyone who doesn't want to follow the rules, they're just sent back up to HQ and told to hand their gear in and leave. Just like a go-kart track, if you start trying to play dodgems or smash up derby on your on a go-kart track, they'll just remove you from the site. If you're doing the other sort of extreme activity, you're not following the rules, your ride will be cancelled, basically. So in that sense, we're no different.
So what can not only firearm owners do, but paintball enthusiasts do to help these proposals get passed through?
Well, I suppose the best thing that with the association and people in the industry would like is if everybody can write in, email, call their local member of parliament and say, hey, come on, when's this happening? And hopefully if enough people will push, it might help expedite the whole process even faster.
Well, I'd be guessing that there'd be some lower house MPs that wouldn't even know that this has been announced.
Look, I can't talk personally from the inner workings of the parliamentary process, but I do believe that most have been briefed on it, at least, that it's coming up. It's something when you talk to anyone in government and you talk to them about the current laws, all of them agree that the way the paintball laws are now and regulations is just silly. It's just complete absolute overkill. We don't want to see people obviously using some drive-bys or in local parks or the beach, but, somewhere in between some sensible laws and regulations certainly wouldn't hurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Michael Wildbrow from the Australian Paintball Industry Association, and we thank you for his time today.
Thanks a lot, Luke. Have a lovely night.
This interview is more for the SSAA New South Wales members who listen to the show. Hopefully there will be other interviews like this one leading up to the board election. And I see a lot of negative comments on social media about SSAA New South Wales. So if you're a member and feel that change is needed, these interviews can help you make that change. One of the candidates is on the line and he's a fairly vocal bloke. And he doesn't step back from a fight. His name is Carl Smith. And, Carl, thanks for your time today.
G'day, thanks very much.
So just give the listeners a quick bio on who Carl Smith is.
Yeah, sure, mate. Look, that's a good question. Mate, I've been involved with the SSAA ever since I was old enough to shoot, even before then. Mate, my old man was Roy Smith. He was the former president of SSAA New South Wales and Sydney branch. So I've grown up around the SSAA. All my life. My recent involvement with the SSAA was through Sydney Branch. I was lucky enough to be a committee member and then elected to senior vice president for Sydney branch back around 2011-2013. The reason I got involved with Sydney branch back then is much the same reason that I'm getting involved with New South Wales these days. Mate, I'm just a bloke who likes to go out and do his shooting and enjoy time with the family. I haven't really got much interest in attending meetings. I saw my dad do that for years and years and years, and they're not fun things. They're time-consuming. They take you away from your family. It definitely is a thankless job. But, mate, I saw Sydney branch heading in the wrong direction. We had a board at the time that was making changes to the constitution that basically made it harder for the sitting board to be kicked out by the members, trying to give them power over certain things. And there was a bit of a power struggle between two fractions in the board, and it was just wasn't going in the right direction. So, as you said, mate, I'm not one to step away from a fight. And if I'm going to have a fight, I'm not going to just sit down on the sidelines and yell abuse. I'm going to jump in there and give me best go. And that's what I did then, and that's what I'm doing now.
So you do have an affiliation with SF, Shooters, Fishers, Farmers Party. People might have a little bit concerned about that. Is there anything to be concerned about?
I don't know why there is a concern, but, I know people do have a concern and people have raised that with me. Look, there's no doubt that I definitely have an affiliation with the Shooters, Fishers, Farmers Party. It's hard not to when your dad was an elected member for them. So, even if I wasn't a member, I'd still have a soft spot for them, mate. But no, even, over the years, I've stayed well connected with the Shooters, Fishers, Farmers Party, been on the state executive. At every election, I'm out there handing out leaflets, travelled to Orange for the state election, handing it out. Leaflets, mate, for Phil Donato when he was there, things that all shooters, I think, should be doing. You know, in terms of SSAA fearing the Shooters, Fishers, and Farmers Party, it's just their furphies put out by, I believe, the current board, because they're grasping at straws. You know, they can't come up with a good reason for the current branches to vote for them. So they're making up scary stories about a Shooters, Fishers, Farmers Party takeover to prevent them from voting for anyone else. So it's not really like vote for us because we're doing great things. It's like don't vote for the other guys because they're with the Shooters, Fishers, and Farmers Party. The New South Wales constitution for the SSAA is a robust constitution. There's no way that any board could, without the consent of the membership, give more than $5,000 donation in any financial year. If the board were to be abusing those things, one, they find themselves criminally liable, and secondly, the constitution also allows for a majority of branches to hold special general meetings to kick out any members. I've sent out an email to all the branches outlining my case to be elected as president. It's the first position I'm standing for, and if I'm unfortunate not to be elected as the president, I'm also standing for a committee member's position. And I've stated to everyone, look, guys, if you just to allay those kind of fears, that if the membership, the boards come to me and say, Carl, we're not happy with what you're doing, if they get a 50% of those sign up, I'll stand down. I'm not going to make them go through an AGM to kick me out. I'm not going to make them go through a special general meeting. I'm big enough to walk away when I'm not needed. You know, I'm not there to do what people don't want. I'm there because I think at this point in time, people are asking for a new direction. That's why I'm standing up. If everything was going fine, everyone was happy, not only would I not be doing this, there'd be no chance of me getting elected, I think, at this stage. I've had a lot of support from a lot of the branches and clubs and just people in general, SSAA members. And everything I've had is positive. So this whole story about it being a Shooters, Fishers, Farmers Party takeover, one, it's just a scare campaign made up by the current New South Wales board. There's nothing to it. And two, it's an impossibility. And in fact, Robert Borzak told me not to waste my time running. You guys, Carl, you got bigger things to worry about. You've got a young family. You know, you don't need to be wasting your time with SSAA. But unfortunately, the SSAA is in my blood for me. Well, unfortunately, it is. It's a good thing. It's in my blood. And I want to see it thrive and do well, and that's why I'm here.
From what I hear and see on social media, that some of the branches feel left out in the cold in some ways. Would those branches who do have concerns, would those concerns be addressed in a timely manner if you are elected?
Most certainly. So, look, I'm not going to say it's an easy thing to be over the and every single thing. There's something like 50 separate clubs in the state, so it's 50 separate bodies you've got to be over all areas. But you know, there seems to be not only at this stage a lack of the board reaching out to the branches to find out what they want, but the board just seems to shut up shop completely between AGMs. There's like a cloak of secrecy over the business, which they do. And even when a club does become proactive and want to find out what the board is doing and asks for help, like the information I'm getting in is they're getting left out in the dark. They're being told, "Oh, go and have a look on the website. You'll find out information through the portals that are there for the clubs. Or you can have a look at our minutes and things like that." I plan on being proactive. Look, Lance Miller, to his credit, in the current board, is rolling out a new information portal that'll allow the clubs to communicate a lot more closely with New South Wales. As far as I'm concerned, that's a little bit too late, like too little too late. They've had 8.5 years to be in power to try and do these sorts of things. Not only do I plan on being proactive and calling the branches themselves and offering assistance when and where I can, but at our regular committee meetings, which the branches have currently been shut out of, which there are confidentiality clauses shutting the branches out of their own state committee, I'll be inviting those people to come along where and when we can. They can come down to wherever our meetings are at. I believe they're currently held in Sydney. That's another thing I'll look at changing it, moving them around the state to make it easier for branches to get to our quarterly meetings for the New South Wales. But I will also be trying to get electronic communication up, so if they want to attend via telephone conference or video call, they can sit in on the meetings and see what their board, the people they've elected, and at most times are using good amounts of their money. They can see what's going on.
Do enough of the branches in SSAA New South Wales actually go to the AGM, and is that something that could be addressed in the future?
From my experience when I was there, look, again, we're getting a good percentage of the branches turn up to the AGM. Those who can't go are allowed to vote via proxy and have their voice heard that way by another branch, so they can delegate their vote. Some of the smaller branches, and we've got branches out as far away, like Bourke, there's not a branch out of Bourke, but we do have branches travelling from quite a far away to have to get to Sydney. And these are smaller branches. Some have under 1,000 members, and some of them are quite elderly as well. And they simply just don't want to travel and waste their time going to Sydney to sit there and listen to, I wouldn't want to. I don't want to go there and listen to some people just prattle on. So it is an issue in terms of if they think that they're not getting heard. And again, in today's day and age, all those who wish to attend should be able to attend in one way or another. So we should be looking at opening it up to those branches by way of video links and other things like that. So whilst it may be a problem, it's not something that I've had anyone come up to me and say, look, we're a branch, we want to get there, but we simply can't. Or branches saying, we gave our proxies and we don't think they're being used right in the right way at the AGM. That'd be one of the smaller issues that I've come across.
So fast forward till after the election, you've been elected president of SSAA New South Wales. What would be your vision for your interment as president?
Yeah, look, that's brilliant, mate. I really like that question. What is my vision? Because at this point in time, and I hate to be negative, I'm going to just say this. At this point in time, I think that's why this current board is in trouble, is there simply isn't a vision. If they do have a vision, they're not telling anyone about it, that's for sure. I don't know where they're taking the current SSAA New South Wales. My vision for the SSAA New South Wales, and again, I've sent this out to all the member branches so they can have a look at it, so they're well aware in advance of where I'll need to go. And these are things they can judge me on. The main points I want to do is making us a political force again, giving us back our political voice, our own independent one, independent of Shoes, Fishers and Farmers Party. The more voices at the table, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Giving power back to the branches. At the moment, there seems to be a concentration of power flowing from the branches towards New South Wales. I want to give some power back to the branches. I spoke on earlier the transparency that I want to bring back in. So, look, there's no need for secrecy. Again, if the New South Wales board's hiding things from its clubs, not telling things to its clubs, then it's certainly, in my opinion, where there's smoke, there's fire. I want to see some large investment in our ranges again, because without the ranges in the right places, we're not going to get members, we're not going to get more shooters, and that not only hurts SSAA, but that hurts shooting in general. And also want to see the professionalisation of the all the major disciplines, and create some really good marquee major events around New South Wales. I want all national champions for all shooting sports to come from New South Wales, and there's no reason why we can't do that. Look, there are things over the 5 years I think we are really, really able to achieve. So at the moment, we don't have a political voice. We don't have any voice at all. As far as I'm concerned, we should be dictating the way guns and shooting sports are portrayed in the media. That is our job. We used to have a media officer. We used to be at the forefront. I remember whenever an article about guns in the newspaper or in the radio, the SSAA had a voice out there. They were consulted. There was a quote from the SSAA, and many times they were instigating the conversation themselves. At this moment, we're reactive. We wait for an article to come out in the paper, and then we see it, and then we kick up a scream, and sometimes we don't even whinge about it, and then we wonder why we're not being heard, and things are going the way the Greens and the lefties. It's because they're the ones dictating at this point in time, because they're proactive. They're the ones who get out there. They're the ones who do nothing. They're the ones who get out there and yell and scream, and we're the ones sitting back doing nothing, and we only do something when it's too late.
A final statement to the SSAA New South Wales members.
Look, again, it's for the branches to vote. For the SSAA New South Wales members, if you're a member of New South Wales SSAA at all, please contact your local branch and let them know what you want to do. Whether that's to stay the status quo. If you're happy with the way things are and you don't want things to change, please bring them up and tell them that as well. But if you want change, if you want to see your sport professionalised, if you want to see your sport grow, if you want to see the SSAA New South Wales be what it was 10 years ago, at the forefront of shooting, at the forefront of the gun debate, if that's what you want, then tell your club to vote for me as president and those people who stand with me at for the lower positions at the new next AGM, which is in May this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Carl Smith, and he is running for president of SSAA New South Wales in the Chin. Thank you for his time today.
Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of Bullet Points, and any feedback is welcome, so please email me at bulletpoints@talkup.com. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, shoot straight and eat pluribus unum.